Welcome to Her Hustle. My name is Gayatri and people call me Gaia. Some paths unfold unexpectedly, from building her career in Cafe Coffee Day to further running her own estate in Chikmagalur. She's found her path through coffee and wellness. This episode dives into her journey, the art of coffee, and the importance of wellness and yoga. Hi, Vaidanti.
Hi.
I'm really happy to have you here.
Hi, Gaia. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So let's go back to your childhood.
Okay.
Was coffee always a part in your childhood? Where did it all start? Let's go back there.
I was born in a coffee plantation. Yeah. You know, I jokingly say that coffee's in my blood. Yeah. So that's how it is so deeply connected to me. So we grew up, I grew up in a coffee plantation. And, you know, earliest memories would be when we were like really little, me and my cousins. We would tie gunny sacks, you know, the coffee, when you pluck coffee, around our waists and run to the estate to pluck coffee, bring it back. We were so excited. So those are one of our earliest memories.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
Compared to the estate life and that contrast to the corporate life of coffee, especially you working in Cafe Coffee Day.
Right.
How was that like?
It is different. Obviously, Cafe Coffee Day is a corporate setup. I had a great time in Coffee Day. It gave me an aspect, an insight into commercial coffee business, the branding part of it, product development, all everything that comes with it, the legal aspects, the art, the licenses. So it gave me a lot of
the technical part
or even the commercial side of it, you know. On the other side, we're just We're farmers, we're agriculturists, and Coffee Day gave me that
space
to explore further.
So in your path through the corporate life, when did that turning point come where you felt like going back to the estate? Do you feel it was deep within or it just came up all of a sudden?
It's a bit of both, I would say. I always had that calling, you know. But the question was always when. You know, I thought I had more time in the city, more experience, more exposure, more noise. But my mother passed away recently. So I decided that I need to go back there and help out with the work and also take forward the family legacy. Why should sons always get to do it, right?
Definitely.
So so it was the perfect time for me to go back. It was sudden yet a calling that was always there.
Did it feel like it all lined up together?
Yes. Everything lines up in life if you let it.
What was one unexpected lesson this taught you, this transition that you felt the city couldn't have taught you?
It would be to live in rhythm with nature. You know, I really understood like how here we are from one place to another, not really taking nature, you know, as a part of us, or we are a part of nature. You know, say our nature is actually nature. So being a woman, we have seasons, and our work on the estate's also very season oriented. So I learned that, like on the estate, there are seasons for growth, there are seasons for harvest and rest. And similarly, for us as women, I think we need to take, you know, understand where we are in which season. And so that's it taught me that, that, you know, to live in rhythm with your nature.
Got it. So let's go into the technical side, because I feel if there's anybody, it should be you, that could give me all the information.
Are you sure you want to listen?
Yes, I'm excited. Okay. So from bean to brew, give me the process. How does it all work?
This bean to brew requires an entire podcast, okay, by itself, but I will try to like concise it. So when the coffee cherry or the bean is ready to be picked, it's mature, it is selectively hand-picked and it's brought to the yard to be sorted for quality. Further, that's taken into processing. And there are typically two kinds of processing. Okay. You can say wet and dry, or, you know, washed and natural. Naturals is you keep the fruit along with the seed, okay, and you dry it on the yard.
Interesting.
Washed is you remove the fruit. The seed is then washed, the mucilage and everything is washed, and it's dried.
Okay.
And both of them are dried to an optimal moisture level, you know, so that the taste profile and it does not, if you have to store it for longer, it does not catch mold. Then it's dry, then it goes into the mill, it's hulled there, it's graded, different kinds, different sizes, and sorted. Once it comes out of the mill, your coffee, clean green coffee, is ready to be roasted. Okay. So it goes into the roasters. Then even roasting, it's an art and also science, where depending on what kind of flavor you want, it can be light roast, it can be medium, it can be dark, depending on your preferences. And post that, it
So is there a great change of like taste profile?
Yes, yes, huge. Post that you grind the coffee before brewing. Grinding also plays a huge role in your flavor profile, depending on how you want to brew your coffee. Either fine grind or coarse, depends. And then the final process is brewing, just before you sip on that coffee.
Do you have a favorite process in all of this? Like something you...
Actually, pour over, it's the easiest for us, for me.
What is pour over?
Pour over is like, it's something similar to filter coffee.
Okay.
You have a cone and coffee, water, and then you wait for the... the decoction, the coffee to drip down.
I'm really excited to know, what is the difference between Arabica coffee and Robusta coffee?
Okay.
And like, what makes it different?
Yeah. So typically there are two varieties of coffee that are popular. That's the Arabica and Robusta. And they're very, very, they're very different. So Arabica is smoother, it's milder, it's more aromatic. I mean, it has fruity or floral notes. It's lower in caffeine, higher acidity. It's a little more expensive because, you know, it's delicate to grow, the conditions, and because of the taste profile as well. Robusta, on the other side, is more stronger, bolder, with notes of, you know, with earthy or nutty notes. Okay, so it's higher caffeine, almost double that of Arabica. It's cheaper because it's easier to grow. It's hardier, resistant to pests.
So if we go into specialty coffee and the commercial coffee, how would you look at that difference also?
So specialty coffee is a market where the highest quality beans are grown, harvested, processed, roasted, grinded, and brewed with extreme care and precision, you know. So it's all about quality in your cup. Distinct flavor and characteristics of that particular, if it's a single origin, it generally it will be, it would be a single origin. The character, the taste profile of the coffee reflects the area from where you've got, like, you know, maybe it could be soil.
The weather.
I mean, and commercial coffee, yes, there are, it's a blend of different coffees sourced from all over. It could be even different countries. It's done more for affordability. It has a consistent and uniform taste. Specialty coffee is done in smaller batches, and, you know, so the freshness is, you know, the quality and freshness. When commercial coffee is, you know, bulk. So it's roasted in like large quantities. And generally, if you see, they're pre-ground. And coffee is very hygroscopic in nature. So, you know, immediately, like, moisture, it reacts, it loses its characteristics. So the freshness is, and so this is probably the
main difference.
What
about single origin coffee? Like, I've heard a lot about it, but can you give us a little details on what
Okay.
Is-
So single origin coffee is coffee, the beans that are sourced from one particular location or an estate. It has a unique, distinct flavor profile, you know, for people who really enjoy their coffee and they can really tell. Like I was mentioning earlier, it reflects the characteristics of that area, the soil condition, the climate, the farming methods, how the farmers are processing it, the nutrition management, irrigation, everything. So that you, everything can be traced back
into the single.
Can be traced back and you can sip. It's a deeper connection to the land and the farmers.
So what is something you wish more people knew about coffee farming?
So what I want people to know, it takes 1 year for that one cup of coffee to come to life from plant to your cup. And the immense hard work that goes into it, it's crazy. You know, it's a lot of, like, it's labor intensive and every decision taken at every step plays a huge role on that
sip of coffee.
That sip of coffee.
All the labor, the hard work.
The decisions that have to be taken at the right time, then, you know, nature, do we get rains at the right time? Are we getting excess rains or it's not? The nutrition that goes in, is it, you know, are we taking care of our soil? Is the nutrition being absorbed properly? Till the end, processing and, you know, it's sent. There's a lot of, lot of labor of love that goes into every sip. So I would like people to appreciate that connection.
Also, something that seemed interesting to me is how you said roasting changes, right?
The taste
of, so then how do you guys make the decision of what runs right now? Of like, what is the taste of the audience right now? Is there some decision that's been made around that?
See, like if you want an espresso, then the blend is different. If you want something stronger, then the blend is different. How you want to brew it, then again, that's different. If you're going to be brewing it, say, you know, as an espresso, then the blend is completely different. So everything matters. And then there are obviously a few standards.
So it works like that.
It works like
that. It's a very customized way of
looking. Specialty coffee market is a very customized.
So what's one habit you had to unlearn when you change from the city life to the estate life? Because I can imagine me living in the busy life, when you suddenly change to such a, what do you say, a silent environment, you have to be with yourself, a moment of solitude, I would say. So how does that relationship with yourself build and how is that change?
You know, one habit that if I had to unlearn would be that constant rushing of things, you know, where, oh, I need to be here, I need to be here, oh, traffic, oh my God, I need to leave earlier from there, I need to go to the gym, oh, my friends have called me. You know, it was constant. And over a period of time, my thinking also became, you know, I couldn't easily relax.
Got it.
But it became a way of life. But then when I moved back to the estate, we would always go back for holidays, you know, not really stay there and make a life.
So
I had to actually like slow down, tell myself that, you know, at one point it became so isolating. I was like, okay, I think I'm ready now to get back to the city. But then I also told myself that no, you know, that this is a decision you've made. I mean, I decided that I'll work from here, there. It doesn't really work like that. So actually, I did come to the city and I said, I'll stay here for 2 weeks. At the end of that second week, this was after 2 years of Mimo, I started to see like the smallest, you know, like my eating habits was, you know, Swiggy, Zomato. You know, because you're then the air quality, like every time I go back from Bangalore to Chikmagalur, that fresh, crisp air is something that, you know, so I realized that these are the qualities, this is quality of life.
And we're all missing out.
I said, okay, fine, you know, I guess fresh food, and I guess this is what I, you know, grass is always going to be greener on the other side. As long as you water it in your side, it's That's something that I always think of. So went back, slowed down. Isolation, like you said, became solitude, you know, and learned to make peace with that. Mm-hmm. Learned to make, instead of, you know, rushing, make time, make it intentional. Mm-hmm. Even if I'm doing nothing, it's okay. You know, it took me a long time to actually understand that doing nothing is actually doing something.
Yeah.
So that's something, that's a habit, that rushing things. And then so that's something that I had to unlearn.
So as you've grown and evolved, how has it changed the way you look at love, romance and dating?
It's changed a lot. So I've been through a divorce before. I got married early. Mm-hmm. Separated and divorced also early. It was so challenging for me, but if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be who I am today. You know, it really taught me a lot. So the way I look at it, yes, of course, has changed. It's about getting to know yourself. Why do you need a partner? You know, today, as us girls, we are, we can do it all, right? Like, why do we need a partner? But so one thing that hasn't changed is I still believe in love and a relationship. But I believe in first getting to know myself, understanding why I need a partner. You know, love is not a need. It's a choice. It's an intentional choice that you make with mutual respect, understanding, support. It's a good place for both of you to grow. So that's how I see it, rather than just a relationship. I like you, you like me. Okay, let's date.
I think the concept of love, it formed a lot more depth to it, right?
Yes. Also, moving back to Chikmagalur, my social circles in Bangalore, I don't really socialize much there. The time here now is limited. So it's also, I focus now, obviously, I also maybe as you, you know, grow, you want more meaningful, deeper connections rather than just fleeting excitement.
Makes sense, yeah.
So I try and focus on just on these.
In this world where it's considered a guy, 30s single, is considered, okay, he's independent. While a woman single in her 30s, it's looked down upon. So how do you face such social norms, social statements?
I just don't give a fuck. I just don't. It's taken me a while to get here. But society is not living for you. You know what's in your life. You know what's important. You know how and what and when and why. And you know the answer to everything.
Society has no part.
Society has absolutely no part in my life. I do what I want, when I want, and how I want.
And has it taken some time or experience for it to change from that? Like, as you said before, you weren't like that before. So then how did that change?
It's obviously through your challenges in life, right? Going through a divorce, especially in India, for me, it was 10 years ago. And there's a lot of like shame and guilt and everything that comes. Though it's like, you know,
it's your decision.
It's, but somehow it's just a societal pressure or like that's put on you. And when you're actually at rock bottom, you have nothing to lose. You know, then you're just like, screw it. You know, like, forget it. Like, I'm just going to, I've had enough. And also therapy helps, you know, leaning on your friends helps. And yoga for me helped, you know, just breathing and allowing, letting go. So, yes.
So now that we've talked about yoga, let's get into your yoga journey. So when did it become just a hobby to actually professional yoga training and all of that?
So yoga for me for the longest was very a personal practice. I started as young as I was in the ninth standard. My mother used to take me for yoga classes. And over a period of time, you know, you're drawn to the practice, you know, the kind of feeling that you get. And then you realize in long term, you change as a person. That point where it was actually after my divorce, I really leaned on yoga, you know, every single day, 2-3 hours, you know, just go and push, let it go, like push it there. So it was a natural calling for me to share that knowledge. You know, it was a natural thing for me to make people feel the same way I was feeling through my lens of yoga.
Yeah.
So that's when I decided to, you know, do my yoga teacher's training course.
So how long did you train for? Like, did you teach people?
I taught people for about 2.5 years. That was, and I moved back then to Chikmagalur. And my plate was full. So I decided, you know, I'll stick to my personal practice, but somewhere I can still feel it calling me back. Like in some way.
What about a small yoga institute in Chikmagalur?
A yoga retreat.
Retreat.
A yoga retreat.
I feel it would be beautiful. Like, it'd be apt in that location.
I think so too. Yeah. Sip your coffee. Sip your coffee. Do some yoga.
Yoga with Vaijanti.
Yeah.
So you recently dealt with a personal loss.
Correct.
Do you feel yoga also played a big role in dealing with such loss through even this like hustle life?
Losing someone, the grief that comes with it, nobody really talks about it, you know? And you only know grief, the emotion or the feeling, only when you lose someone. And I wish people actually spoke a little more, but then I understand how personal it is and each is to their own. Like, you know, like, everyone experiences grief in different ways. I just allowed it to consume me, you know, because I allowed it to completely take over me. It comes in waves, you know. So when it hit, I let it, you know, then get up and then move on. And eventually with time, those waves become smoother. The time between the waves becomes smoother. Just feeling my emotions fully, understanding, grieving the person that I lost, my mother. She was the pillar of our family, holding everything and everyone together. You know, to lose someone like that is huge. So yoga, breathing, pranayama, meditation, just really puts a lot of things into perspective. Brings all your thoughts and everything. Okay, over.
So what would be your biggest piece of advice to somebody stuck in a rut, somebody who's stuck in life?
I would say slow down, you know, take time for yourself, understand what the rut is all about, why the rut is there in the first place, and self-care, take care of yourself. Because at the end of the day, that's all that we have, you know, making small, small changes to taking care of yourself would really somehow help you. You know, it could be rest. It could be nourishing food, spending time with family, friends. That's my actually go-to to movement is my go-to. To come out of any rut. So that would be my advice.
So then I'm going to go a little back to where we started.
Okay.
Because after hearing all of this, I'm more interested to hear, how does one day of Vaijanti's look like in the estate?
One day, it's actually very different, but every day is different, but let me try and... So day starts early there. Work starts by 7:30. So I'm up earlier. You know, maybe go for a small walk, say hi to my doggies. I have 10. And you know, go for a quick walk, come back. I have, like, you know, sit with my thoughts, have my hot water, start, have my, do my morning yoga, followed with pranayama. It's self-care in morning, you know, pranayama, meditation, skin care. Focusing on protein-rich breakfast. So just taking care, because I have so much time on my hands there. And you'll post that, it's going into the fields, looking, overlooking the work that's happening, decisions that have to be taken here, there. Coming, then you come back, you rest for a bit.
That's important.
You rest for a bit. The second half goes into organizing. Mm-hmm. I cook sometimes, maybe garden, paperwork. You know, mm-hmm. I have cows. Mm.
And
I have 23, 24. So, you know, so I decided I will start a small dairy.
Okay,
like the excess milk I will sell. So it's a little bit of money, but I something that can sustain the, you know, the well-being of mm-hmm. the cows. So it goes in, you know, small things like mm-hmm. that. And then work gets over. Then I've promised my dogs that every single evening that I will take them for a long walk into the estate. Ooh. So that's a non-negotiable.
So and you take even, all 10 dogs.
Yeah. And if I'm late, I have this one guy who'll sit in front and keep barking till I'm out. Ooh. And then they come out, they're like, oh, she's coming out. If I go back again, they start barking. Then the minute I start wearing my shoes, so I go for a walk, come back, sit by the lake. Again, it's just, you know,
personal time.
Your time. And where I sit by the lake, you don't even get good internet. So there's no phone to use. Thank God for that. And then, you know, it starts getting darker. You go inside, freshen up. It's family time.
Yeah.
And you hit the bed and you're in bed by 9:30. You read, mindlessly scroll for some time and sleep. Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. So my last question would be, what is the next plan after this estate? Do you think of expanding it? Do you have any other plans in mind?
There are a few plans, but right now this is what it is. Like you said, maybe, you know, like the yoga retreat. Yeah. I want to brand my coffee, make it a single origin coffee, but how life takes you, where life takes you,
that's the
flow with
excitement.
Flow with it, not fight against it. Yes.
Actually, in my iPad, you could like, you have that inscription thing.
Okay.
So I've written this, go with the flow.
Okay.
It's something similar to what you told. It just came into mind.
Yeah, to go with it, to see where life takes you. Be present. Don't fight it.
Yeah.
Do your best today. Your today is your tomorrow. Today is your future.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So shall we start the rapid fire?
It's going to be controversial.
We'll see. Okay. So we'll start?
Yes.
And it'll be fast.
Okay.
So one thing you miss about Bangalore?
My friends.
One thing you never want to go back to?
Traffic jams.
Your go-to adda for chai, or shall I say coffee, chit-chat or brainstorming?
Would be my estate porch by the lake.
One self-care habit you never skip?
Maybe skincare.
A self-help book or philosophy that truly worked for you?
Becoming the One by Shaliana Ayana. Oh, it's so good.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
Healing is dash. Finish the sentence.
Healing is finding peace in your pieces.
That's nice. Your go-to yoga pose for a tough day?
I would say a yoga practice. If you have quick 15 minutes of hip openers, a back bend, pranayama, and ended with meditation, and 15 minutes and you're
set.
And you're like, what tough day.
One lesson from yoga that applies to life?
Breathe through the discomfort. It's temporary.
Deep breath helps a lot. Right?
Yeah, breathe through your discomfort.
One coffee rule you never break?
Always grind fresh.
Yeah.
What's
a coffee fact that would completely blow a regular drinker's mind?
That your coffee beans are not actually beans. Your coffee is a fruit. You're drinking fruit juice.
Oh, actually. Okay. What's an overrated coffee trend?
None. Each is to their own. Everybody drink your coffee however you want. Drink coffee.
You're not going to judge.
No, just drink more coffee.
the biggest mistake people make when brewing coffee at home?
Maybe using boiling water. You shouldn't use like boiling water.
What do you think is the correct way then?
Temperature between 90 to 96 degrees Celsius is ideal. So boiling,
Instagram aesthetic or post whatever you feel like?
Now it's just post whatever I feel like. Whenever or sometimes I go missing for 3 months, then I come back with hi, I'm back. So post whatever.
One Gen Z slang word you secretly don't understand?
I don't understand everything, but one thing is no cap.
No cap.
Where's the cap? For what cap?
Do you know what no cap means?
I had to Google it. Someone said no cap. No cap. It's like, wait 1 minute. What is it? So many. My brother is a Gen Z. And every time he sends me something, I have to go to Google and say, what is this? Yeah.
So our rapid fire round is done. Okay. And I think you did great.
Oh, thanks.
So then, I would really like to end this
okay.
whole episode
okay.
with this question. So, if you could text your older self before that sudden change from city to Chikmagalur, what would you say now? What would you text yourself now?
I'd say, be right there. I'll be back with an updated version of me.
So sweet. Yeah. Thank you, Ajanti.
Thank you for having me.
It was really amazing.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
It was really inspiring seeing that how you just easily transitioned. I know it wasn't easy.
It wasn't easy.
But you made it sound so easy. Yeah. So
yeah. Really thank you. Thank you. Thank you.